Okay, hola, hola, hola. We have 2 minutes here. I know it's kind of weird that we only had one webinar, and I'm already hearing that, it's weird these 2 minutes before I officially start, but then I have to turn it on because I like to see that it's working. And so anyways, you'll have to. If you're watching, if you're logging early, that's great. Welcome. All right. So, welcome, welcome. I'm so very happy that you guys are here. We have 2 minutes. I was thinking maybe just, doing something like probably I'm going to start like hanging out like a little sign here that say I'm going to fill up my cup of, tea with water, or like get a glass of water, like hang out there. I might do that for the next one or something. Emily's, thank you for asking. You know what? It doesn't really matter because, maybe for some people it's easier to have the reading done before we, like the watching the webinar because they like to do it early in the morning. That's when they can. So honestly, that's a good question, but really it doesn't make any difference. Yeah, so thank you for asking though. It's good to have people writing there. That's good. Okay. Remember, if I'm looking that way, it's because I have my notes there, and I'm actually also trying to pay attention to the chat to see if we have something there that needs to be addressed. I'm sorry, these odd minutes. Need to maybe start playing some music or something, right? I'm not as fun as Rebecca Merkel or Heather Wilson or Rachel Jack. They are amazing. They are so, like they would be playing something super fun, but I'm not as fun as they are. They are amazing. I wish I could have them here so they can, play some fun music for you guys. Where are you from, Emily's? I know, Rebecca. Rebecca Ramsey says it's been very entertaining to join with so many women reading the Bible together. I agree. It's been so wonderful. I totally agree. It's such a such. I mean, it's really a gift. It's been so great. Oh, you're from Moscow. I was thinking, I kind of recognize that last name, maybe. That's so good. Emily's, wonderful. So great. Oh my goodness, I'm so happy that you are here. I was thinking that there was like an aunt or someone that I was missing. Emma, this makes me so happy that you are here. Woohoo! Oh, I love that. Oh, okay, that is so great. It makes me so happy that you are here. All right. Thank you for being here, Emily. I love that. I didn't know that you were Lise too. I love that. Very encouraging to have you here. All right. Sharp on time. This is Becky Pliego, and I am broadcasting live from Mexico City. And I'm so very grateful, guys, that you are here. This is our second webinar. We are starting today the readings for week two of this Bible reading challenge. And I'm very, very grateful for our church, Christ Church in Moscow, Idaho, and the Ladies Fellowship there because they've put it all together. They are sponsoring it. They actually done everything, and they asked me to lead these webinars, and I'm very, very grateful for that. It's really been a blessing. It started little, and the Lord has clearly given increase to this project, and we are so happy, so very grateful that you were able to join us. Thank you, guys. Well, it's a team. We are a team. If you are on the Facebook page, you don't have to be, but if you are, you already witness how wonderful it is. We have so many wonderful moderators there. We have Valor, we have Rebecca Merkel, we have Rachel Jankovic, we have Heather, we have Heather Wilson, we have Catherine Church, we have Elise Krapuchitz. It's a big team of women that we're working together in this. I just happen to be the face here on the webinars, and I'm very happy and grateful. But we are a good team. I'm so very grateful for the team that the Lord has put together, and for our church, Christ Church in Moscow, Idaho, for doing this. It's a blessing. Okay, well, let's open with a word of prayer, shall we? Father of light, you alone can turn our hearts to you. You alone can open our hearts to see Jesus, to see the gospel in every story we read. There's nothing impossible for you. So we ask, please, Lord, in the strong name of Jesus, incline our hearts to fear your name and love you more and more and obey you more and more and worship you more and more as we read the pages ahead of us this week. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. All right. So a few announcements. If you are on Facebook, on the Facebook group, what a gift. Thank you for the way you've been participating. I think it's great. You know, like, we have been doing it the right, exactly the way we envisioned it would be. Like, we're very grateful. Becca has a comment there on genealogies. This was just so fun to read. You can look at that on the Facebook group. If you are not on Facebook, it doesn't matter. I hope you're finding encouragement also through the emails that we're sending weekly, through the webinar and Facebook. So we have you all covered. That's where our team is working on, to have you covered so that you can, you know, help you, so that we can help you persevere. What happens if you miss a day in the reading, or two or three or 10 or a whole week because you have a child that is sick, or things, life happens, right? What happens? You just keep on reading on the day that we are at. So you look at your calendar, you're like, oh, okay, today is September 18, and I just start there. Okay. See, I was explaining this to a friend of mine, and see, look how many days we're gonna be reading, guys. It's a lot of days, right? So what happens if you miss, like, let's say 10 days? What is, and then we quit because we just miss, you know, like, this little part of it. What would happen? We just, you know, like, think, oh, you know, like, I just miss, you know, like, 5 days here or two here. I'm just going to quit. That's very little compared to all the rest that is awaiting for you. You see that? It's so clear when you say it that way. So don't, if you have time to catch up, wonderful. We're so happy that you are actually trying to catch up. But don't feel bad if you cannot. Just jump in on the day that we are at. And, you know, we're thinking and we're trusting that this is not the last time that you will be reading your Bible. That is important for, we really want you to understand that. Another important thing that we also want you to know is that we have an email address. If you have any question, we encourage you to go first to your husband, then to your elders or pastor. And then if you still have a question or a comment or encouraging note, feel free to email to us. We open an email, and it's BibleReadingChallenge@yahoo.com. And our dear friend, Sister Elise Krapuchitz, she's going to be answering your email. She's going to be keeping track of that. Well, actually, she's not going to be answering every email. We're thinking that we might get a lot. There's over 1,000 women who have joined the program. So, you know, but we'll be reading, she will be reading, and she will be keeping track of those. And some of them, you know, if we feel that it's very important, we will, in that sense, we will give you a reply. But know that we will be paying attention to those. Okay, so this week we're going to be reading Genesis 12 to 36 and Matthew 8 through 19. Those are our readings this week. And now let's start. What we read last week. What is it that we read last week? We read last week the first question found in the Bible. And it was God asking it. He said in chapter 1, verse 9, he remember that he comes and finds Adam and Eve trying to play hide and seek with the omniscient, holy God in the garden. And he comes and he asks them, where are you? Right? I love that we have that instance there, because it's the first question in the Bible, and it's God asking it, and he's asking, where are you? He's coming to man in his sinful state. And then in Matthew, we read the first question asked in the New Testament. And it came from the Magi in the days of Herod the king, and they asked, where is he who has been born, the king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Isn't that amazing? You put that, can you see that connection there? Only through Emmanuel, Jesus Christ, can we find God, the maker, and of all the stars that, you know, that he's just leading us. He's leading us. And how did they know? How did they know? Because they took the book and read the book and believed what the book was saying about it, and they follow exactly and were led there. They came to Christ. They found Christ because they were following the word of God. Mm-hmm. And then we read another question. This time it's Herod at inquiring the wise men and to tell him where exactly the Christ was born. And Herod, told them that he also wanted to go worship them. But in reality, we know that he wanted to kill the promised one, the seed of the woman. So three questions there, right? God asking, where are you? Then the Magi asking, where is Jesus so that we can go worship him? And Herod is asking, where is he so I can worship? But he's Satan, right? There are only two ways with this thing that we can see, two ways that man approaches God. And what does scriptures declare of him? One, it's either believing, which results in worshiping him. We believe what the word says, we come to Christ, and we worship him. Or we can just, you know, read in disbelief, which results in hating him. Remember, the role of a spectator has not given to anyone, right? So we either worship Christ, believe the word, and come to Christ, or disbelieve and keep, you know, stay in our not believing, in our not wanting to look, to believe. And we actually haters of God when we do that. We cannot pick and choose. Chapter 3 ended with a powerful declaration. We read God himself saying, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." Did you read that? I was so amazed. I was like, Lord, this is so incredible. This is, you know, we've been reading in the Old Testament about the promised one, about the seed coming. It's just like generation after generation. They are thinking, they're praying, they're hoping, they're holding on to the promise. And here, God himself is just yelling, literally, right, at everyone in the world, so that all creation, every human being can hear, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." We talked about that last webinar. He's a God that loves to reveal himself to us. He's not hiding. He's not playing hide and seek with us. He wants to show us the way to the Father. And he's telling us, this is the promised one. This is the one that will come and crush the head of the serpent. This is my beloved son. This is no more shadows, no more type, no more typos, no types, sorry. No more, this is Christ. This is the Messiah. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. God comes to us. He came to Adam and Eve. He came to Noah. He came in the Tower of Babel. He comes to us. He comes to us. He reveals himself to us. He wants to show us the way of life. Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. And believing something less than this is not believing at all. We also read of Cain and Abel. and the recurring pattern of the in this redemptive story that we are reading, seeing in grace and seeing in grace. And at the heart of this pattern, we always see a God full of mercy and compassion, but also a God with zero tolerance for sin. A faithful and just God that reveals himself to us in the scriptures as one God who judges sin severely, but at the same time, a God who is always in the business of restoring, forgiving, giving life, and keeping covenant. So let's, as we continue reading, let's keep our eyes open to find that pattern everywhere. Every time there's sin, there's grace. Every time there's judgment, there's a sign of mercy. There's always going God pointing to a redemptive pattern. It's important that we stop and read with Hebrews. We're going to read Hebrews. It's going to be amazing when we read Hebrews all together. But now I'm going to read Hebrews 1:4. It says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. God commended him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. Amazing, right? Amazing. He just is trusting, is knowing. And I think it is very important for us to know that these men and women in the Old Testament were saved by through grace, by faith in Jesus Christ. They were looking at him. Hebrews is clear. The New Testament is clear in telling us that. We sometimes think that they were saved through faith, by through grace, by faith in some shadow that we don't know. Of course, they didn't have all the revelation that we have now, but they did know that it was pointing to Christ. No one has ever been saved apart from Christ, and no one will be ever saved apart from Christ. Very important to remember that. Then we read the genealogy in chapter 5. And that was very interesting. Of course, it's again, you know, to read the genealogy, it's like, okay, one more generation closer to our Lord, one more generation closer to our Lord. That's amazing. We read about Noah, of course, and how he found favor in the eyes of God. And even before he had a chance to obey or disobey, before he was even given the command to build the ark, right? He found favor in God's eyes. And again, this is another pattern that we are going to be seeing through the whole scripture. And that is that God exercises his sovereignty. And one of the ways in which God exercises his sovereignty is by choosing people without paying attention to their own efforts or virtues or sins. He chooses people for his glory and for his purposes, period. And that is what, you know, that's part of what it means when we say that we believe in the sovereignty of God. Mm-hmm. He does what he pleases with every one of us, with every single thing in the world. He does what he pleases for the good of his people and for his glory. That is what it means that we believe in a sovereign God, including choosing whoever he wants to use for certain purposes. In Hebrews 11, we read that story, but I want to tell you what Hebrews 11, why Noah made it into the Hall of Fame. It says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of the things not yet seen, moved with godly fear and prepare an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the whole world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. All this when we come to here. But here, I want you sisters to see Christ in this statement. Noah was seeing Christ. He knew there's salvation in Christ alone. And here we see Christ. It's either salvation is in Christ, it's either we are in Christ saved or we are not. We are like people in that time. They were in the ark or they were not. You could not be just like kind of in the ark. Mm-hmm. It's either you are in the ark or you are not. You are in Christ or you are not. There is only one There was only one way to be saved in the flood, right? It was being in the ark. There's only one way today to be saved, and it's being in Christ. In the story of the flood, we also saw God judging mankind so that grace may abound. Grace and mercy have the last word there. And you know what he's doing there? He's judging sin, but he's also keeping the line of the seed of the woman there. And he knows, God knows, of course, that sin is not destroyed with the flood. Sin enters, walks in the ark as well, right? He enters in the heart of Noah and his wife and their children. Sin is present. God is telling us what he wants, the way he will need to deal with sin. But sin is still there. Sin still, there's something greater, harder that needs to be done to be dealt with sin. And God will provide. God will provide a way. Right? So God makes a covenant, and we read about that. We read about the covenant. We read that this covenant is the same. It's God promising that there was going to be a redemption. And then we came to the Tower of Babel, and in the name of Jesus, now we know that we can come to God the Father and have access to him. Right? In Ephesians, it clearly tells us that we are part of the building that God is building. We are his temple, and we advance his kingdom, and we do not need to build a name for ourselves. Very important to remember that. We read also about the temptation of Jesus in Matthew 4. It's the same temptation that Adam and Eve faced. Is God's word true? It's the same temptation that we face every day. Is God's word true? Will I obey it? Will I worship God or the gods of the world? But Jesus believed God and his word and worshiped the Father. Right? Perfect obedience that was imputed to us. Sisters, we cannot say we love the word of God and never come to him through his word. We cannot worship God aright if we are not obeying his word. It's very, very important to know that. The Sermon on the Mount we read, wasn't it amazing? The way we want all to be blessed. And we read also in Psalm 119, deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. What a blessing. Lord, bless us that way. Bless us in a way that we may keep your word. In verse 56 of the same psalm, David said, this blessing has fallen to me that I have kept your precepts. Oh, God, he will bless us with that blessing. What are we going to read next week? Next week, we have a wonderful week ahead of us. We're going to be reading in chapter 12 of Genesis that God is going to reaffirm his covenant with Abram. Very, very important. Very interesting. We'll read in Abraham, in Hebrews again, 11:8, it says, Abraham obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. He obeyed and went. He had faith to obey the word of God. Our response to God's calling, as we mentioned last week, can never be passive. None of us is a spectator. We either respond in believing, which results in obedience, or in belief, which results in disobedience. And I know I'm repeating the same concept, but I'm going to be repeating this over and over again because this is something that we need to understand. Right? We live in a time in which we think that we can pick and choose what we want to believe from the scripture, but no, it's impossible to do that. Please note that Abraham is promised exactly when you read. Notice that Abraham is promised exactly what God denied to the people of Babel, a name, a family, and a land. Isn't that amazing? You're going to love it. You're going to love it, I'm sure. You're going to read about right, if you're listening to the Bible, about the mediator, how the mediator is now Abram. And that is the way God is going to be always making a covenant, using a mediator. But it's not always just like Jesus and me. That's why of course, it's an individual calling, but it always involves people. Mm-hmm. And that's important to understand how it's working. So pay attention to that. And it is important because, and you will see also in these chapters about Abraham, how the mediator, I mean, how God is for evangelism. God is in favor of evangelism since the very beginning, since here. He says, in you, all the nations will be blessed. See, God has always had a heart to reaching all the people from every nation. Uh-huh. So the difference is that in the Old Testament, the way that God was doing evangelism was having his people here and having all the eyes of all the nations looking at them. Uh-huh. In the New Testament, it's different. In the New Testament, God has his church, he's doing a thing with his church, and he's sending his church out. You see the difference? But the evangelism, the heart of God has always been to reach people from every tribe, every nation, from everywhere. That has always been. And then we're going to be thinking about ourselves like, how is God going to include all the nation if he's choosing one man from this particular group? How is that going to happen? If he's choosing this group of people here, how is possible that all the nations are going to be going to be able to come to the covenant? We'll have to keep reading, and until we come to Ephesians and Galatians, Paul is going to explain us that. There's a mystery. The mystery is starting to be there. Like, how is that going to happen? And the people, the Israelites, are thinking about, like, how is that going to happen? Right? How is that going to, we cannot marry people that are not from us. We cannot marry, how then is that going to happen? There's a mystery that is starting to be there. It's going to be amazing to understand how in the New Testament we read how the mystery is solved. And then in chapter 12 of Genesis, you're going to see that the same man that received the promise is actually putting it's threatening the promise. He's actually, Abraham will actually give Sarai to Pharaoh, you know, as a part of his harem. That's crazy. It's like Abraham surrenders, he's going to be surrendering the woman who was meant to be the mother of the promise to Pharaoh. That's crazy. You're going to be reading that. How is that what is going to happen? But nothing thwarts God's promise. Nothing. Remember, God does not have plan B. He's not like, what am I going to do now? No. He just jumps in the story and says, no, I'm not going to let that happen. He will fulfill what he has promised. The line of the Redeemer is kept alive because the fulfillment of the promise rests in God. He always does what he pleases. We believe in a sovereign God, in a God that through his providence governs all things. It's just amazing. You're going to be amazed at the stories that we'll be reading this week. God will remind again of his promise to Abraham in chapter 15. And that's going to be huge, 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 huge. A promise given to him and Sarai, and God makes a covenant again. And God is going to keep revealing his character to us. He's not a God who hides himself, but keeps showing and telling us who he is. In Genesis 15:6, we'll come to a key passage, not only of Genesis or this particular story, but of the whole story of redemption. And that is... I'm going to read it. It says, and he, Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Isn't that amazing? This is the exact same gospel that we preach today. Salvation by grace alone. Uh-huh. It's grace. It's faith. It's only in Christ. It's only through Christ. And our believing, as we talked in the last webinar, is a gift from God so that no one will boast. We'll read more about that in Romans. So hang, like, stay with us. And Jesus himself said, Abraham, rejoice. Listen to this. I love this passage. It's in John 8:56. I just love this. Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day when he saw it and was glad. Jesus said, he rejoiced to see my day. Abraham, when you're reading the story of Abraham, just think that Jesus, that Abraham was actually seeing Jesus' day. He was not like, he was not trusting to some, this, you know, cloud. No. Abraham looked forward to Jesus and was saved. And we looked back to Jesus, and that's how we are saved. Through grace, by faith. God will keep the line of the promise. God will. We'll see, we read about the circumcision. We'll read about Sodom and Gomorrah and how they will be destroyed, but the heart, the sin in the heart of men is still going to be there. No floods, no fire from no floods, no fire from the sky, not natural disasters will never destroy the sin in the heart of men. There's gotta be something more. All those things are pointing to us. But we will be reminded of all in all those instances that in the midst of God's judgments, we always see a mercy, a way out through believing in him. Just like in Matthew, we will be reading how Jesus is going to be healing a lot of people in the midst of an ungodly generation. He will be opening the eyes of the blind, right? Faith will open the eyes of the blind in Matthew as it opened the eyes of the blind in the Old Testament. And in Genesis 20, you're going to be shocked because, again, Abraham will commit exactly the same sin he committed in chapter 12. He's again going to give his wife to Pharaoh. It's like crazy. And God is using characters full of mistakes and sins to bring his purpose to come, right? I'm sorry, yeah. To make his purpose alive. And then God promised to Abraham and Sarah, and this, he gives them the son of the promise. He says, you will have a son, right? That it will be the son of the promise. And Isaac is born, and the hopes of everyone are high. It's an amazing story. And both laugh, and God, notice the question. Please note that when you come in chapter 18, you will know that Abraham, God asks Abraham, the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I am too old? And now listen to hear the question. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? I want to point that because we will be reading about that question. We're going to be talking about that question in the next webinar. And it's so important that you remember that, okay? Keep that question in your heart as we continue reading. I'm sorry here. I just moved this and lost my place for a second. So we will be reading also on Matthew 14. On Matthew 10, we will be seeing also Jesus exercising his sovereignty in the way he chooses his disciples. How did God choose Noah? Just because, right? Just because. And how the Bible doesn't tell us that Jesus chose his disciples because of this or because of that. No. He just chose them. Election is here. It's real, and it's not a theological term. It's a biblical term. It's a biblical word. God choosing people for his purposes is a biblical term. It's not like the Trinity, for example. The Trinity, the word Trinity is not in the Bible, right? But it is there. So God choosing people for his purposes, it is there. It's not that we have to come up with a term. It is there. It's a, in that sense, I'm saying that it's a biblical word, not a theological word. He chooses, and we just see it that over and over and again. And that is so comforting, because otherwise no one would be saved. No one would deserve to be saved. Just like he chose, for example, Noah to save the generation, right? And then he also chose Judas Iscariot, right? To fulfill his purpose. He chooses. In Matthew 14 and 15, don't miss the word compassion. You will see that. Just make a little note there. When reading chapters 14 and 15 on Matthew, don't miss the word compassion. God is the same God in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. His character has never changed and will never change. Didn't God have compassion on Isaac when he, like his father, threatened the line of the promise on chapter 26 of Genesis? Right? He's the God of compassion. We'll read about Jacob and Esau and ask God to open your eyes so that you may see the gospel in these stories. Remember that we're reading the one story, the redemption story, and we need to be reading about Jesus in the Old Testament, because that's what Jesus said, that's the way Jesus told us that we needed to be reading the Old Testament, right? So it's not that we're going to find Jesus in each word or under each stone that we read, but we will find the gospel, the same gospel message that Jesus is preaching in the New Testament, that the Lord is teaching us. That's what I mean when I say that we need to go back and say, God, show me the gospel here. What is it that they were seeing? They were seeing Jesus. They were writing about you. Moses was writing about Jesus. Didn't we read that in John? It's just amazing. We'll read about Jacob and his children, and we'll just keep reading, and we'll be captivating in Matthew 15 about the Canaanite woman, a woman of another nation, a woman out of the covenant with no birthrights to come to the table, comes to Jesus crying for mercy and finds mercy. And we just talked a few minutes ago about how is that going to happen? How is it that all the nations are going to be blessed in the seed of the woman? And here we see that actually happening. The Canaanite woman is coming, she pleads for mercy, and God has mercy on her. Right? No matter where you are in the story, no matter, you can always cry for mercy. It doesn't matter. You can always cry for mercy. You can always come, and he will not reject you. Even if you are in the midst of the consequences of your own sins, or in the midst of the consequences of the sins that others have committed against you, read this story in Matthew 15 and be filled with hope. Jesus Christ, the promised one, has come, and he is merciful to those who cry for mercy. He always welcomes repentant sinners at his table. Mercy and grace, we will read and read and read in these stories, will always meet us in our deepest needs. And we know that we can never find true grace disembodied from Jesus. So sisters, let's keep on reading. It's going to be amazing. The things that God has ahead of us are really, really amazing. Now we're going to pray the scriptures. Last week we prayed through the Lord's Prayer. This week I'm going to be doing something different. I'm going to take different topics. Because sometimes it's easy. Sometimes you have, like last week, right? We read the Lord's Prayer. So in a day you can pick that and use it as your map to read. Another woman on our Facebook page gave this idea that I'm doing, and I love it. She said that she's reading one section of Psalm 119, you know, how there are letters. It to read and pray before her reading, and I love it. And she wants to do that over and over again, and I think that's pretty amazing. I'm doing that, actually. I love it. But so what happens when your reading has, you know, like, it's not like easy to follow a map? We can take principles read ourselves in the story. Mm-hmm. Let the story of God change us, and then pray about it. So let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray about what we read this morning. I'm going to be reading. Merciful Father, God Almighty, our Redeemer, hear us. Come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you because you choose a people for yourself without paying attention to their background, their present circumstances, their sins, past, present, or future. Thank you because you, in your kindness, lead us to repentance. Thank you because we see it in your scriptures. Thank you because we can come to you when you call us, because Jesus made a way for us to come to you. Thank you because your calling is so powerful and so loving that we cannot resist coming to you when you call us. Thank you, Lord, for your irresistible grace. Father, forgive us for the many times in which we have thought that coming to you is a matter of trying harder and having a stronger willpower. Forgive us for the times when we do, when we are actually saying that Jesus' perfect sacrifice on the cross for us is not enough to save us. Forgive us, O Lord, and have mercy on us. Give us the gift of believing that you gave Abraham, that we may believe in you and through faith be counted as righteous. We cannot obey as Jesus obeyed, O Lord. But we thank you because Jesus' obedience has been imputed to us, O Lord. Thank you because Jesus not only died for us, but he also lived a life of perfect obedience for us. Thank you. Thank you because you have mercy on us when we cry to you for mercy. Thank you because you want to restore us into fellowship with you, Father. Thank you because your word brings healing to our souls and even to our bodies. Thank you, because when we are in the midst of huge storms, we can rest assured that no matter how little our faith might be, you still come to us and meet us there and make your name greater than the storms. Father, that we may know you better so that we can worship you better. Come to you, Father, labored and heavy laden. And we come to you because you want us to come to you when we are carrying all these many burdens, O Lord. Only you can give us rest, so we come to you. And how do we come to you if it's not through prayer and through your word? Oh, Father, draw us to you this week, we pray. In the strong name of Jesus, amen. Amen. All right, my dear friends. Well, thank you so much for coming. Thank you again for being here in this webinar. Thank you again for Christchurch in Moscow, Idaho, for the team of, you know, the Christchurch Ladies Fellowship that have put this together. We are so very grateful that you are here, that you are following us, and we pray that this week will be a blessing to you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. May God bless you.